Welcome in. You just found yourself the most entertaining Iowa podcast in history. Don't know how entertaining we're going to be today. Bad. All around. Bad. Turnovers. Bad. Offensive line. Bad. Play calling. I'm not even sure what plays you call at this point. I don't know. We're going to talk about it all. Snowball effect. Exponential gassing of our defense. We got bent. Hard to have a day, but let's try. Let's go. I think Drake, is Drake on mute, or is he, or can we not hear him?
We can't hear Drake.
Oh, well, this is pretty
emblematic of the weekend.
This, you know what? This is how I wanted it to go.
Could just cut and start over.
No, it'll be fine. This is okay. Perfect. Any of this?
No.
Oh, there he is. What do you got to say, man? What do you got?
Well, I was going to do a wellness check on Gary, but now I'm going to do one on my fucking self because I just don't even want to do this bullshit.
Drake, I'm honestly super surprised that you showed up.
Odds were like plus 600 that he was.
Yeah, that's exactly why I showed up, because I knew the odds were against me. So I said, fuck you. And I showed up as the underdog.
Wow. Unreal.
Love that.
Unreal. Gary had a tough weekend. Everybody had a tough weekend.
That was my intro. My intro was literally, this is wellness checks with the walk-ons, and I know one dude in here in particular is not doing so well, so I want to do a formal wellness check on my friend Gary to make sure that everything's okay. We don't need to get him to a number to a hotline or anything.
He might need it.
Thank you. I appreciate you saying that, Drake. I've had
70 burger.
You know, at least it was a –
You've had 112.
Keep me around this time.
You've had 112 scored on you this weekend.
Not great,
dude. Not 70 great. In the NFL is absurd.
It's 2 points short of the NFL record.
That was like in '66 or something.
Yeah, that was set almost 60 years ago, 57 years ago.
That's
Grant.
It's not good.
What happened?
Everything that could go wrong went wrong. Simply. It was a total disaster. It was bad. It was not good.
Sean Payton having a tough intro to the city of Denver.
Yeah, it is kind of weird because it's like I feel like they made steps to get better, but somehow got worse. So I don't really know what's going on there in Denver. But hey, you know what? I'm still gonna watch next week. Still invested.
You're good.
Miami's got a little bit of squad though.
They're decent.
They're so good. They're more than decent.
They are more than decent.
They are.
I know that Tyreek's.
That was playing without Jalen Waddle.
They didn't even have Jalen Waddle.
They did not have Jalen Waddle. He's out of the game.
Jesus Christ! Yeah. I know Tyreek's nickname is Cheetah Cheat Code, but it's real. He's that good.
He's good for 150 every single night.
And I've got him. So you might consider yourself a brave soul if you're listening to this podcast. I don't know what's going on, Drake. For those watching the YouTube, which is a large portion of our audience, I have no idea. Nope, he's just going to the audio, I guess.
Today can fuck itself.
Yeah. Well, yesterday too, right?
Yeah, yesterday honestly fucked itself too.
Hey, man, while we're doing wellness checks, then, sure. There's a lot of Bears fans in the Iowa Hawkeye community. They're down 41-0 at the start of the fourth quarter. So,
yeah. Who's
it's
worse?
It's been a brutal weekend.
Everyone's bad, except for Penn State, evidently. You're here. You're listening to this podcast. A lot of people probably aren't, or you're catching up like later than you would, because I know a lot of people in the content consumption community of the Iowa space choose not to listen to the recaps if it's a really bad game. They just don't want to hear it. They don't want to have to subject themselves to go through that again, to have those negative conversations.
Then why are we here?
Well, quite frankly, I was just going to say, Drake didn't want to be here. Kevin certainly doesn't want to be here. I generally am like, I'm apathetic to it. I'll be here. But even I today was like, I don't think this is going to be fun.
Where I'm from, we call what happened to the Hawks getting Sandusky.
They took us in the shower against our will.
It went bad, and to be quite honest, if you are here for a review, I don't know how much true game review we're gonna do here. In fact, boys, who's down for a quick podcast, right? Who's down for a quick?
Yeah. Let's cap this thing at like 40 minutes tops.
Yeah, maybe 30. At this point in the wellness walk-ons circle, can we just go around and give some our first general thought? Any general thought on the night? I was absolutely stoked up until like 6 minutes into the first quarter. I was juiced. My heart was racing, and I don't really get butterflies since we've been done playing. But for some reason, this game was like the first one in a long time where I was kind of fucking amped.
Even more than the last time I played Penn State, top five battle.
No, not like that. I mean, I was in the stadium for that one. That was, but like watching on TV doesn't do a lot for me, like emotionally, body marker wise. But my heart rate was up for this. I was really excited. The intro, it was the shots of Happy Valley, the whiteout, the boys coming out. I was juiced, and then it. Unfortunately,
it happened.
Unfortunately, we've been there.
You cannot turn the ball over in the red zone. You just absolutely cannot do it. If you make it to the red zone, you have to score at least 3 points.
Not just in any game, especially this game. Especially that game, right? That's a tough fumble by Eric Gall early on, right? That's tough. Now, what's even tougher...
We've been screaming overrated at Michigan for a long time, just saying.
What's even tougher is the shittiest luck on punt return that I've seen in a while. And it came at a crucial time.
And it's not that kid's fault either. He was doing a good job blocking.
He was doing his job blocking.
Kevin made a great point that there's no way that he heard that.
No shot.
They call it poison. I always called it Peter. But, yeah.
Basically, Cooper is yelling, get out of the way. So,
and he was pointing at the ball, too. Coop was clearly pointing at it.
Yeah, teams either use Peter or poison for that. But it's Happy Valley. There's 110,000 people. There's next to no chance that he heard that. So,
like, and to be quite honest,
try to hit somebody running down the field with a punt.
Impossible.
Like you will do it one in maybe 3,000 tries.
And this taps right off his shoulder into their hands. And
took the perfect bounce for them.
It was the turning point in the game. And I'm not going to sit here and act like Iowa specifically.
Did we ever have a chance in this game? Probably not.
Probably not. But any shot that we keep it close and eke out some gritty, muddy, nasty 1 point win all went out the door when they got that bounce. The defense had just stopped them, and then we had to send them right back out.
Yeah,
we had to send them right back out onto the field, and
which
that is
always very, very disheartening.
Demoralizing,
but
also
the field, and then you immediately have to go back out, whether it's on the special teams play or say the offense turns it over the next play. Really fucking sucks.
It's physically and emotionally damaging.
It's draining, yeah.
And that is the moment where they started to gas out, because this defense is given everything they fucking have against a pretty talented offense. They're not bad. Penn State, pretty dang good team. That receiver they had, he could do whatever he wants against our defense. We don't have a guy like that. I don't know what his name was, number one, but he was a guy that we don't have.
That's a Andre Lambert Smith.
Him. Aller was finding him all night. And once we had to be, I mean, everybody here at listening to this podcast knows the stats, right? They ran 97 plays. We ran 28. They had the ball for
5 minutes.
They had the ball for 45 minutes. We had it for 14:33. It's almost unbelievable. You could tell someone
That's got to be a near record. Grant, can you look it up? What is the record time of possession in a game?
Discrepancy.
Ball game?
It's got to be
up there.
We had more turnovers than first downs. You can keep going. Everybody knows the stuff. I don't have to repeat it. the numbers and the stats of this game are almost storybook stuff, almost fictional, it doesn't even make sense.
We're right back where we were last year, the exact same spot. It's like,
I wouldn't say that.
I don't think so, and I know that that's where people are jumping.
Fictional levels of offensive underperformance. I mean, it's the same narrative. It may not be the exact same situation. It's the same narrative.
I mean, I'm not saying that they're light years ahead of where they were last year, but
they are.
This
they
was are ahead. By far the best opponent they've played in the last year, two years. I think they'll have better success throughout the rest of the year than they had yesteryear.
Dude, if they're any further ahead than they were last year, they would not have had 70 yards.
And this is what I'm getting to.
The entire fucking offensive roster.
What I'm getting at, Drake, is that we were just completely and utterly not in the same class as these guys.
Buzzsaw.
Not even close.
Like, usually we have the saying, like, hey, we play them 10 times, maybe we won one or two. I don't know if that's true for these two teams.
Yeah, I think this one was more like we play them 30 times, we win one.
I don't know if it's that 20. We won one out of 20, probably.
I do want to take a quick moment to this could be, and you guys may think this is bullshit. The listeners may think this is bullshit. In fact, many people on social media think that a lot of the stuff that I say is bullshit, and that's fine, but I'm the one with the microphone, so I'm going to say it. The extremity that this loss got to and how absolutely bad of an ass beating it eventually turned into, it was exponential. There was a turning point where when you are only on the field for three plays with your offense and the defense is basically playing the entire game and you're having these several of the turnovers, and turnovers is an issue right now, by the way. We got to fucking
fix that. Unbelievable issue.
But when you're doing that and you're also not going anywhere in the three plays that you do have, this thing got worse than I think the levels of our defensive talent and their offensive talent actually are. I think it looks worse than it actually is.
Yeah, I still got a lot of faith in the defense.
I mean, I'd make the argument that we got our asses kicked worse than 31-0 shows.
I would agree. I would agree with that. But I also don't think our defense is that bad, if that makes any sense.
No, they're not at all. They're not that bad. Having to play 45 and a half minutes against a Penn State offense that has a lot of talent on it, giving up 31 points is pretty good, dude.
I mean, I don't think their offense is otherworldly. I think
they're not.
You know, they're talked about the preview, I said that Drew Aller is a question mark. We don't know how good he actually is. I think he's a really solid quarterback. I think he'll end up being an NFL quarterback one day. Their receiving core, they have that one guy. I think their offensive line's pretty good.
Running back's pretty good.
Half of that being on the field for 45 minutes and 97 drives is on them. They couldn't get off the field.
Yeah.
I mean, they didn't give up any big plays, really, but Penn State didn't really take any big shots, but they just methodically moved it down the field.
Yes, Kevin, but what I'm saying,
look at the second half drives, it's touchdown, 75-yard touchdown, 71-yard touchdown. They got the short field, 20-yard touchdown, 60-yard drive, missed field goal, and then they needed out for the end of the game. They didn't get off the field.
What I'm saying, though, Kev, is they – part of them, especially as the game wears on, not getting off the field, is because they're fucking tired.
Yeah, 100%. Dude, first drive, second half, I'm watching Jay Higgins run sideways the sideline. And it wasn't just him. It was everybody. It's like, oh, my God.
A guy that plays
his legs game. Were heavy, man.
It looks like he's trying to carry a trailer behind him.
Yeah. I mean,
double-digit tackles again, though. Pretty cool.
Yeah. Well, yeah, when you have 97 plays, I would fucking hope the whole defense has doubled.
You want to know what's crazy, Kevin Drake? Gary, you won't get this one, but on Sunday Shakeout, there's a number of plays that you have to play, for, like that at least Doyle had at one point, to where if you played above that number, then you had a slightly easier Shakeout run. The offense almost, or did they not make it?
They moved it up to 30 when we were seniors.
So they didn't make it.
See, 36.
Okay. Well, that's unbelievable that they're that close.
Yeah, so, I mean, if unless you were like – I mean, what, Cade got pulled, so he's running. So unless you're an offensive lineman who played every snap, yeah, you're doing the full conditioning on Sunday. Fuck. But on the other side of that, I'm surprised they left the starters in on defense in the fourth quarter like that. Because 97 plays takes a shit ton out of you.
It's almost irresponsible.
And it's not like we're going into the bye week. Like, these accumulate over the course of the year.
Want to take a quick second to recognize one of our favorite sponsors and partners of this show, AdCraft Custom Apparel and Merchandise. We've talked about their custom web stores and how they can make you money with fundraising or your own custom line of t-shirts or work uniforms for your team. But we also want to highlight Hawkadelic, which is AdCraft's premium Iowa Hawkeye merch line. They've been licensed with the University of Iowa for 20 plus years and decorate all items right here in Iowa. Homegrown business, baby. Hawkadelic features vintage-inspired Hawkeye designs with modern styles, including a variety of Hawkeye sports, A&F gear, Beat State gear, exclusive shirt of the month every month, and of course, the Wash Up Walk-Ons gear. The Wash Up Walk-Ons listeners get 15% off their entire order, 15%, by using the code HBAM15, that's H-B-A-M-1-5, at checkout. Go snag some of the cool Hawkadelic merch today. Pick up my favorite personal item, the We Own Ames tee. Great design there. Simple, succinct, to the point, and true. Again, Wash Up Walk-Ons listeners get 15% off their entire order by using code HBAM15 at checkout at hawkadelic.com. That's HAWKADELIC.com. We are not going
to. I was surprised to see the starters in there as long as they were. Like, that game was over. There is no chance of us winning that football game come midway through the third quarter.
Or the midway through the second quarter.
It was still 10-0 in the second quarter. But
yeah,
let's be real.
I did see a wild live total points for Iowa in like the middle of the second quarter or third quarter was somewhere around 2.5. Like middle.
It got down to half a point in like the third quarter, I think.
Wow.
That is not good.
This is maybe a good quick second just because we have to get it in. Presented by Betfred, the walk-on betting recap of the weekend. If there is a silver lining, your boy's back to 7-4, or wait, 7-5.
So
I went 3-0 on the weekend, and that's, I just want to put that out there. I also want to say a quick middle finger to Swish, who said that I was a doofus in the Discord for betting on Iowa State again, and they, I would say they handled Oklahoma State okay, fine at home, got the win, covered. That was part of a parlay that I missed one team on, but my picks on the podcast were this game under 40. Damn near.
Not the way you thought it happened, but
went to bed, turned the game off with 10 minutes left, by the way, went to bed thinking that that wasn't safe. I had Maryland by 7.5 over Michigan State, which is our next opponent. They covered that pretty easily. And, what was my other bet? I bet, Oregon demolishing the Buffaloes, which I thought was coming, and it was. And Dan Lanning and the Oregon Ducks decided to absolutely...
They walked them, dude. They
walk them. Yeah, they duck walked them.
Who got ass kicked worse?
I actually
Colorado
said that.
Did.
I might say Colorado.
Colorado did.
Somebody made the point of, like, if Dion can come into Colorado and change things around in 1 year... We can do the same thing with our staff. And I'm like, well, Dion got fucking walked yesterday too. Like, probably worse than we did.
I mean, the overall point is not incorrect in this age of NIL money and transfer portal. If enough money, you can go buy five new offensive linemen. If
yeah, it's accelerated for sure. But Dion's also an anomaly. He's one of one. There's not going to be a lot of stories like there, like Dion.
Not too many coaches got Dion's resume.
Grant, how was your three picks on the pod? Kevin, you said you were 1-2.
I was 2-1. So I promised the people a 2-1 performance. They got it. But they got 0 wins, they got 2 losses, and they got a tie. Okay. So my favorite pick of the week was Rutgers plus 24. It looked good pretty much early. All game long. They throw a pick 6 on Michigan's like 20-yard line. Ends up being a push. I think it was like it opened at 24.5 at the beginning of the week. So if you got it there, congratulations. But that one ended up being a push at 31-7. Let's see. I had.
How does Vegas know, dude?
They're good at what they do, man.
It's this thing is rigged.
It's rigged.
Thinking about things that Vegas doesn't know, I had the Hawks plus 15. Obviously, they got fucking dog walked. They lose by 31. And then I had the under in the Northwestern Minnesota game. Not even fucking close. They
Which, by the way, I woke up and Lauren goes, did you see Northwestern beat Minnesota? And I said, excuse me? And they beat Minnesota.
They did. Yeah, they huge fourth quarter comeback. They scored three touchdowns in the fourth quarter.
Bigger fourth quarter comeback, the Packers today or Northwestern yesterday?
I mean, they were down 21.
Definitely Northwestern.
Definitely Northwestern.
Well, the Packers were looking not good for the entire game, too. And then all of a sudden, I check that one.
What were they down, like a whopping 10 points?
No, 17-0.
17? Oh, shoot.
Came back in the fourth quarter, won 18-17.
Crazy.
What'd you go, Grant?
I went 2-1. Got close to 3. Should have been 3-0, except that idiot Dabo just decided to tank in the fourth quarter. Multiple chances to win against Florida State. He just fumbled all of them. That's a great dog, Kevin.
Yeah,
this
for those
now the Olive Cast.
Yeah, for those on the YouTube, you just got a little golden retriever action, which helps us a little bit.
But yeah, Kansas did a good job against BYU. Well, messed around a little bit, made me nervous, but handled it at the end. And then West Virginia was on ESPN Plus, so I had no way to watch it. Which I can't believe that Big 12 conference games are on ESPN Plus, but they are. And I couldn't watch it, but they did fine. They won outright. They had an awesome highlight video or a hype video with Charles Wesley Godwin, who just released a new album as well before. And as soon as that came out on Friday, I was like, I feel good. This is going to be good. But ultimately, all of it though, 2-1. I'm not happy unless the Hawks won over the weekend. So I'm still upset.
Well, they didn't. They didn't win. They didn't even come close. I don't think Drake. You had.
I had the Hawks, bro, and that's that.
Yeah. Okay.
But there's going to be on DHU. There might be a big airing of grievances against Dabo. It doesn't belong on here. But he I was infuriated for about.
DHT is where we air, is sort of become a place where we air grievances from the previous weekend. So if you're interested, hit up the Patreon. That segment brought to you by Betfred, by the way. Download the Betfred app and lose all your money unless you're betting the Iowa unders, which are now 3-1 on the year.
Penn State is also 4-0 versus the spread. Congratulations.
Oh, congrats to Penn State. Where do we go next? Is there a –
I have an update, actually, on the time of possession.
Okay.
Yes, please.
Unofficial record is Michigan State versus Rutgers in 2017. Michigan State won 40-7 with 47 minutes, 20 seconds of possession time.
Holy fuck. They had it for 12 and a half minutes.
I mean, that's not that far above what we just saw.
It's very close.
That's a minute and a half difference.
But it does save the Hawks. Do you guys have any – we might have to make up some – we might have to get creative here. Do we have a Premier Automotive collision of the game for this one?
The punt hitting our guy's back of the head. I don't know.
That might be the collision of the game, if we're being honest. I was thinking potentially the thought of Drake putting his brass knuckles on and punching through the wall could be the collision of the game, which wouldn't be the first time that has happened. Shout out to N320's door at Hillcrest dorm. And I don't remember if there were any big hits for the Hawks yesterday. So,
The one we took right in the face
and the gut. Yeah. The gut punch.
Someone made a good hit on Aller at one point during the night.
Yeah, I think you're right. That was Herquette?
It ended up being like an incomplete pass, but
yeah, he was asking for a penalty and then he got up and he's like, fucking,
boat racing these guys.
Yeah. We're just absolutely just walking them. Okay.
So, I mean, we've got our ass kicked a few times in our day.
Like similar situation, actually.
16. This was way worse than the McCaffrey day.
McCaffrey?
This was way worse.
I thought Minnesota 2014 might be the closest.
That we experienced?
The closest game that kind of came to my mind. Like, that was a game where we just could not stop him on offense. couldn't really do shit, or couldn't stop them on, yeah, defense, couldn't really do shit on offense. Although we were winning that game at 1.7-0.
7-0, and then Max Williams, right? Three touchdowns?
Yeah, 52 unanswered points. Point is, it happens from time to time.
Yeah.
We don't like it. We don't feel good about it. But for the fans out there, just know that there's no illusions on the inside of that program.
Yes.
About what just happened, right? KF knows, Coach Parker knows, Brian knows that we just got our asses handed us and our shit kicked in, right? Everyone's coming in into the facility today on Sunday, and it's fucking quiet as a mouse in there, and people are fucking pissed off, and no one feels good about themselves.
Man, that's
going to be a real come to Jesus moment with everyone there.
Yeah.
We're going to put up on the film and see where we got to get better. There's a lot of ways we got to get better.
What? That's going to be a tough film to watch.
That's a tough day in film, and I'm so glad that I'm 29 and washed as fuck. Maybe bright spot of the game. Torrey had an elite punt down to the one. Just want to highlight the special teams real quick, although still a lot of room for improvement there on the special teams as well.
I mean, if you can add another turnover there, basically, is we had a block kick, but then we end up running into the snapper. That turned into a touchdown. So, you know.
I also want to just – this is directly to the punt coverage team. I played 4 years. Kevin played right next to me for 4 years on that punt team. And we waited for guys to take a chance and not – throw the fair catch up and then for it to slip through their hands and that ball to fumble. I waited 4 years. I went down and sat in guys' laps waiting for fumbles. I've seen it happen three or four times since we've graduated, Kevin, and not once in our career did it happen.
Never happened.
And it happened also, yesterday. And
that one's like, that was if we wanted to keep it close to something that we needed to go like our way.
And it went
couldn't have bounced further away from our guys.
Unbelievable. Yeah. Right off Coop's freaking, I mean, unbelievable. That's a good thing to point out, Kevin. I'm glad that you said that because I do think that some people, I'm not saying all people, everybody on Twitter who every time I put out a tweet about being a fan can just think I'm talking about a tough day
on Twitter for old Kluver.
Let's be honest, you need to get off fucking Twitter, dude. I sent a tweet last night. I sent a tweet last night knowing it would just do numbies because I would, and then I just went to bed. And then I woke up over 100 replies to the tweet.
What did you tweet? I didn't see it.
All I tweeted was Twitter venting is unmatched. This stuff appears to leave people in shambles. It'll be okay, everyone. I hit tweet, went to bed.
What? Why pay for therapy when you can just have a Twitter account?
Now, when I tweet stuff like that, and then today, you know, I'm just getting blasted because again, people just jump to this like this finale narrative of, oh, Kluver thinks it's stupid to be a fan. Never said that. No.
Do you think it's stupid to be a fan though? Because sometimes
I think it's stupid to be a fan whose emotions in their life, when the game is over, still ride and die on what happened in the game.
Do you know what you're describing? That's just being a fan.
No, because I'm a fan on a different level. Can you not just watch the game and then the game ends and it's like, okay, cool. On to the next thing in my life.
For my teams, personally, no.
I don't understand that. Because even as a Hawkeye fan today, dude, I had a great fucking day. And I hardly thought about it until you guys texted and said, let's get this thing over with. And then we're on the podcast for 45 minutes and then we're off. And then I'm not going to think about it again.
So are you saying that when the Hawks are winning, your emotions are completely unaffected versus last night when you turned the game off in the fourth quarter?
Completely unaffected.
I don't believe that because you turned it off.
Do you not though? Because you know me, Kevin. You know me.
No, because like if you were completely unemotional about it, you would have kept watching the game.
No, oh, okay, that's a good point. So last night, I go to bed at about 9:15. There was no reason for me the only reason for me to watch that game anymore was to, like, you know, like if you know, to see some stuff that I wouldn't have seen in the first three quarters and whatever the game. Oh, look at that. How many times will you guys say it will be okay? Oh, you guys got lumped in with me. I'm sorry about that. On that first one, how many times will you guys say it will be okay? I responded every time, because it will, because it's just football. Yeah.
Should we start like some drama on this podcast and one of us draws straws and becomes the contrarian, just like the sky is falling type of person?
People think that, you want someone to be like
Yeah, one of us should start to be like, you know, burn the whole program down type person.
Like First Take, like it could be a Skip Shannon.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, what you should do is like almost like camouflage the episode title, be like Everyone Panic, like it's like Code Red. And then they come on here, it's like, oh, it's Tyler Klubler, well, Everything's going to be okay hour.
Well, and it's the funny thing, because now people who are on Twitter, they like to – their thing, that's, and I think it makes them feel better in some weird way. They'll go on there and they will – some of them will they'll tag me. Some of them won't. They'll be like, can't wait to fucking get on Monday and hear the walk-ons talk about how Brian's the best fucking coordinator and how everything's going to be okay. Can't wait to be fucking gaslighted by the walk-ons. And I'm like, I'm on record multiple times last year saying Brian is not a good offensive coordinator, very clearly based on stats, based on performance. And people will still say that I am like his suck boy or something, that I'm like, you know, like I just tail the Ferentzes around. It's like so weird.
I feel like I saw almost – I mean, there's definitely a lot of people going at Brian on Twitter, but I was seeing a ton on the offensive line coach.
Well,
I mean, what? It's a bad offensive line, and it's continuing to be a bad offensive line.
Here's the thing, and I agree with the people on this. Oh, wait, weird. Kluver agrees with fans on Twitter. Wait a second. Everybody hold the phone. I saw this multiple times. It should not happen at a Division I university, Iowa specifically, with its history of having really good offensive linemen, that we should have this sort of offensive line performance 3 years in a row. And I agree. And guess what? I don't know the answer. Something is fucked. And I don't know the answer. Anybody got an answer? Because guys,
misses on recruiting, man. I like one of our friend, one of the people I talked to that used to play offensive line.
Yep.
We used to recruit athletes and guys that can move and turn them into big offensive linemen.
Yep.
I think we've started recruiting big offensive linemen and hoping they can move
and hoping that they're athletes.
And trying to
guess what? They're not. They can't move. They're stuck in the mud. These kids are stuck in the mud.
Yeah. I mean, again, let's tone it down a little bit, because that is a top five defense.
No, but I've been saying it for 3 years now, dude. I'm not toning shit down. I said it the first 2 weeks of the season. I said last week, yeah, they had a little better week. We'll see what happens. Look, they got dog walked again. They've been getting dog walked for years. They've just been an open gate for years. Okay, continue.
That's not going to happen the rest of the year.
No,
if it does, well, then we've got real fucking problems.
But Kev, there is something to what Drake's saying. It's like,
yeah, sure, I understand what he's saying.
It's great if we can go 11-1, but if we can't compete with the actual good teams, the ones who are competing for a conference championship or a national championship, are we settling? You know, is it okay if we go in 11-1, but look like a middle school team versus Penn State? Like, this leads us to
11-1 every year.
And I will too. And I will too. And I know fans hate to hear that. If we run the table,
we don't get this schedule every year.
That's true. And of course the Brian thing came back up yesterday. And I know people are going to call for Brian.
We said this a little bit last year too. Is like, what play do you call?
What do you call?
What do you call? No fucking idea.
If you bring Sean
back, we're getting no movement on the offensive line. This wide receiver is getting zero separation because that's a great secondary. and we have no time. We can't drop back and pass.
I had several people be like, well, now it's eaten. Now Brian's got to be fired when the plane touches back down in Iowa City, right? And my one response was, hey, I understand, but what are you calling, though? What's going to work? We could bring Sean fucking McVay in.
I can understand taking ownership of not developing players enough because clearly we haven't. But as far as from a play-killing perspective, yesterday, again, I have no idea what you call that would work.
Especially,
I don't think there's anything in the call sheet that works yesterday.
Especially once it's 17-0 and they know the offense hasn't been doing anything, so they just start pinning their ears back. And now they're just – they can take chances. They can just absolutely play with reckless abandon.
We had one good play where Cade had a bootleg, and they just – that's a Penn State error. That's not because we did anything good. I thought Brian's shovel pass to Eric Aul was a great play call.
Great call.
You hold on to the ball, and you know we get a field goal at least there, you'd hope. Settled into themselves, and they were just superior in every aspect of a defense over an offense.
Every single way. And again, for everyone that just heard that, don't take that as, oh, there it is. The walk-ons are defending Brian again. It's not that we're defending Brian. It's just that you're going to have to bring in God himself to find play calls that are, I don't think Sean McVay or Shanahan out in San Francisco, you could put them on.
Nobody's calling a winning game.
I don't know what those guys are going to come up with that's going to work. Now, here's the thing, and this might be a little hyperbolic, and people are just going to – they're going to eat this up like a little crumb sandwich. Oh, my God, Kluver finally said something that I agree with. I don't think Brian's on the staff next year.
Dude, I'd quit in the middle of the season if I was him.
I don't think Brian's on the staff next year. Because here's the deal. A currency that they're playing with, kind of it's an invisible currency, and I think the fans are certainly fed up and want different, and sure, you don't listen to the fans because there are some people in higher positions that probably have a little bit more knowledge, and
the fans with a lot of money get listened to.
They get listened to. And that's what I was going to come around to. And guess what? We have a brand new AD, or she's going to be the AD. And when you're a brand new AD, and I didn't fully, this idea wasn't fully formed until I heard John Miller talk about it on Hawkeye Recap. But he kind of confirmed the loose thoughts that I was having in my head and formed it. If you come in year one as an AD, and you kind of like re-sign the guy that everybody fucking hates, it's just not a good look. And so even if you like Brian, even if Brian was doing well, like because of last night and because the first 3 weeks, quite frankly, weren't offensively just, you know, even if it's not Brian's fault, if you could somehow divvy it down to like, oh, wait, we figured it out. It actually isn't Brian's fault. And everybody can clearly understand that it's not. I still don't think he's going to be around next year. I think that's where I'm going with this. And so things are going to get interesting, but that's not relevant right now. And I'm certainly one who's not about firing a coach mid-season unless it's for cause, like it's Mel Tucker or something. because that completely fucks a position room, an offense. Like they've at least got him in there now, and they've got, you know, some base built for this year. But yeah, that's my hot take, if it's a hot take at all. I have nothing else for this game. I mean, I have zero. There's nothing else to talk about. I mean, a bad game offensively is like, oh my God, you guys only got 162 yards of offense. What did we get? 78?
I want to say less.
70? 68?
I think it was less.
60. I'll find it.
I know one time we went to Wisconsin our senior year, I believe, and we had a day that was really, really bad.
Yeah, and that was right after we put up 55 at Ohio State, too.
Right, yeah, we've done some weird things. It
didn't make any fucking sense. Shit. We had
76
yards. There we go. That Wisconsin game, we just had two pick sixes.
I think we had 4 for 25, Drake.
That means we had 51 net yards of offense.
It's bad.
It's not ideal.
Yeah. So what did we talk about before? To win this game, we had to win turnovers. We lost 4-0.
Yeah.
If you told me we lost beforehand 4-0 and we lost by 30, I'd say that makes sense.
Yeah, I would say that checks out. That all lines up pretty well.
Field position, we did not win field position. We were doing good job in the first quarter.
Trying.
It was going like we needed it to go, and then didn't. Penalties, did not. I mean, one crucial penalty on the field goal. Not that it was crucial, but it turned into 7 points, but the game was already over. We didn't play clean football. We had to play like a perfect game, and we didn't.
Yeah. We Grant, any thoughts, Grant, before I attempt to wrap this up?
No, I mean, that was definitely a tough game to watch for sure. I was bummed. I was trying to raise some money for Children's Hospital. I said that if the Hawks won, I was going to donate whatever amount they win by 10x to the kids. Got a lot of people who agreed to match, and they scored no points.
So you're asking for $300 from the Children's Hospital right now?
I still donated. Don't worry.
There's now a balance on Grant and the Children's Hospital of minus 310.
I still donated anyway. But I thought it would have been cool if like everyone went and donated anyway and the Hawks won. I thought it would have been awesome.
It would have been. That's a great idea by you.
It did not work.
I do.
Might have to try it again later in the season.
I do want to give a quick shout out to the new and shiny Grant Allen top 25 that's going to come out each week.
Oh, yes, the top 25. It's here.
Gary, the intern, is going to put out his own top 25 each week. We'd love for you to comment what you would change, what you agree with.
Where are the Hawks, dickhead?
Not in there.
I mean, we gotta score them.
You gotta score points to be ranked, I think.
I don't think that's anything controversial to say that.
Drake, any other thoughts from you? Any ideas on how to? Maybe I shouldn't. Tempt that, but any
Nut
ideas?
Nut the fuck up.
Nut the fuck up?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh.
Get 2 full handfuls of dick and balls. Remind yourself that you got something between your legs. Sack the fuck up and play better.
It's one solution.
The fucking players are failing their coaches, dude. They're failing them. There's my fucking sign off.
All right.
There's a little stat here too. This was the first time in my lifetime the Hawks did not score a point in a game.
Saw that.
Last time was in 2000.
Yeah.
I was not alive.
It's not good. It's not good. I'll end with this. We'll go back to what Kevin said. The guys know it's not good. KF knows it's not good. BF knows it's not good. A lot of people out there on Twitter, Facebook, I'm embarrassed to be an Iowa Hawkeye. Our offense is the embarrassment of the country right now. It's a laughing stock. They know, and they're the offense. They're the guys. So I promise you, they feel more embarrassed, more like they feel it.
Oh yeah,
right. I don't want anybody under the impression that like they just walk into the complex today and they're like, huh, what a tough night in Happy Valley. Guess we get ready for Michigan State now. Like, they're fucking pissed. They're embarrassed. Okay.
I know I was like joking around too with like the 11-1's not off the table, like hashtag positivity stuff, but it's like part of it's joke, part of it's not. Like, it still could easily happen. I mean, like, I think they're gonna win a lot more games still.
I do too.
Like, I don't think it's like total, like, I don't think like this is an all time bad loss, but like, I still kind of believe in the Hawks. I mean,
they will be favored.
I'm not abandoning ship.
They will be favored in most of the games left on the schedule. Probably.
What do you think they wouldn't be favored in?
Wisconsin? At this point, probably not Wisconsin.
Maybe Rutgers, man. I don't know.
Well, for a second, I thought Rutgers was the real deal. I thought they were about to go up 14-0 on Michigan. I was like, holy shit, Rutgers might be a loss. But then they, you know, they didn't do anything the rest of the game. I think, you know, other than Wisconsin,
Maybe Minnesota's at home. I don't know.
Maybe
depends on how Nebraska plays out the rest of the year. Should be if they're not favored in every game, they'll be dogged by
damn
single possession.
It'll be a damn near pick 'em. Yeah. So you know, and I know that's not good enough for a lot of people. I get it. You're going to be like, I don't care. If we can beat all the average to bad teams and go 11-1, but we play one legit opponent and we look like an FCS team, then that's not good enough for me. I don't know what to tell you. That's just like potentially what's going to happen. So I don't know how you reconcile that within yourself, but this is where we're at. It's probably almost assuredly not going to look as bad as it did yesterday the rest of the year. And we move on. We move on. That's it. Grant, Kevin, any final words?
All right. Cut it.
Enjoy your week. We'll be back on DHT tomorrow. Drake and Gary Friday. And the Thursday preview of Michigan State on Thursday. We'll see you then. Peace. Hey, thanks for listening to the show. If you want more, you can check us out on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube by searching Washed Up Walk-Ons. And if you're interested in supporting the show, head over to patreon.com/washedupwalkons where you can find bonus podcasts, merchandise, and other cool perks. Best part, half of your subscription benefits the kids at UI Children's Hospital. We'll see you next time. Hawks by a million.